shirt, but I was pretty sure he'd drive his car off a bridge before he'd be seen in a pink tuxedo. "I'm going back online, and I'm going to get my chameleon going," Grandma said. "I might even raise my sneak level and go invisible. I got a feeling about the griefer. There's something familiar about him." Connie called on my cell. "Good news," she said. "Dom just bailed Loretta out. He got their mother to use her house as collateral."
"I thought her mother was in rehab."
"She is. I didn't look too hard at the signature. Here's the problem. I can't leave the office, and I need someone to spring Loretta and drive her home. Dom won't go anywhere near the jail."
Chapter 8.
"I just want to go home and take a shower and get into clean clothes," Loretta said. "And for the rest of my life, I don't want to ever see a Tom Collins."
I turned down her street, and a block away we could see the disaster. There was a mound of furniture and assorted junk at the curb in front of her house.
"Shit," Loretta said. "It's that bastard slumlord who owns my house. He's evicted me."
I parked and looked at Loretta's front door. It had a board nailed across it and an eviction notice tacked to the board.
"You had to know this was coming," I said to Loretta.
"I was behind on my rent, but I was hoping he'd give me another month. We're coming into wedding season, and the firehouse is booked solid with showers and receptions. I could have caught up this month."
She wrenched the passenger side door open and got out and stood staring at all her worldly possessions.
"Is this everything?" I asked her.
"Yeah," she said. "Pathetic, isn't it? Most of the big furniture pieces, like the beds and the couch, came with the rental."
"You need to get this truck out of here. There's not that much. You could haul it in a pickup and store it in your mom's garage."
"I don't have a phone," she said. "My phone went dead in jail."
I gave her my phone, and she called Dom. 40 minutes later, Dom rolled in, driving a rattletrap truck. He pulled to the curb, and I took off. I didn't want another confrontation with crazy Dom, and I was due back at the hotel at 11. I was wearing black slacks and black boots, a stretchy white t-shirt, and a fitted black leather jacket. I was ready to represent Range Man. Tank was on guard in front of Brenda's suite when I stepped out of the elevator. I tried to imagine him in a pink tuxedo, but the picture wouldn't come together.
"How's it going?" I asked him.
"Good,"
he said.
"No trouble with Brenda?"
"No."
So much for conversation. At precisely 11 o'clock, Ranger arrived, walked straight to Brenda's door, and knocked. Nancy opened the door a crack and looked out at Ranger.
"The car is here," Ranger said.
Nancy grimaced.
"She can't get her eyelashes on."
"And?"
"She can't do television without eyelashes."
Ranger looked over at me.
"You want to step in here and translate?"
"False eyelashes," I told him.
"Doesn't the station have someone doing makeup?" I asked Nancy.
"No, budget cuts. We have hair and makeup coming in from New York for the concert, but there was a scheduling screw-up, and they won't arrive in time for this television show."
"Good grief," I said. "This isn't rocket science."
I pushed past Nancy and found Brenda in the bathroom fiddling with her hair. She was wearing a white stretch wraparound shirt that tied in the front and showed a lot of cleavage and a lot of skin between the bottom of the shirt and the top of her jeans. She had her hair in two ponytails. She looked like Daisy Duke. I looked at the mess of makeup spread out on the bathroom counter. She had individual lashes, which would take an hour to get on, and she had strip lashes, which any idiot could glue to her lids in 10 seconds.
"I can do this," I told her. "We'll go with the strip lashes. You don't have time for the individuals."
"Are you a professional?" she asked.
"Even better. I'm from the Berg. I was putting lashes on my Barbie doll when I was 7. Close your eyes."
I glued the lashes to her eyes and swiped on liquid eyeliner. I looked at my watch. 10 minutes late. Could be worse. We maneuvered Brenda through the lobby to a side exit where 3 black Range Man SUVs idled. Ranger, Nancy, Brenda, and I got into the middle car, and we all cruised off into traffic. I was in the back seat, and I was thinking I should be sort of excited to be part of Brenda's entourage. After all, she was a star, and she was going to be on television, and I was going to be a backstage insider for the concert. That's a big deal, right? Problem was, she didn't look like a star up close. She looked like she sold real estate to people with more money than brains. It was a short ride to the station. We signed in at the front desk and followed an intern through a maze of shabby corridors to the green room, which turned out to be painted tan. Some pastries and fruit and coffee had been set out. There were some dog-eared magazines on a side table. The upholstered couch and chairs were leather and slightly shabby. The carpet was the color of dirt. We all took a seat and watched the television set that was tuned to the station. This was midday news, and the anchors and guests were wearing conservative suits. Brenda looked like she was ready to get raffled off at a hoedown.
"How do I look?" Brenda asked Nancy. "Do I look okay? Is my hair okay?"
She reached in and rearranged her breasts.
"Are the girls okay?"
"Remember to plug the concert tonight," Nancy said. "We need to sell tickets."
The producer popped in with the sound man, and they hooked a mic to Brenda and led her away.
"I don't have to do this," Nancy said. "I could get lots of good jobs. I could sell shoes at Macy's, or I could clean kennel cages."
Ranger was on his cell phone conducting business. His eyes were on me, but his thoughts were elsewhere. Nancy and I, smelling disaster, nervously scarfed down donuts. A man and a woman were anchoring the news. They talked a little about the concert, and they introduced Brenda. And then Brenda was suddenly on stage in a chair next to the female anchor. Brenda's legs were demurely crossed, and her bulging breasts looked like polished marble. She was all smiles and white teeth and sparkling eyes. Brenda was stunning. Something happened between Brenda and the camera. Even the whole Daisy Duke thing was working. Nancy had her fingers in her ears and her eyes squinted shut.
"Tell me when it's over."
"It's good," I told her. "You have to see this. She's beautiful." Nancy opened one eye.
"Really?"
"It's magic," I said to her.
"I just love it here,"
Brenda said to the anchor.
"I'm in Trenton, right?"
The anchors laughed. Brenda was adorable.
"Everyone is wondering about your love life," the anchor said. "There's a rumor that you're engaged again."
Brenda clapped her hands over her eyes.
"Good Lord," she said. "No way."
She took her hands away, and a feathery black object dropped onto her cheek. Nancy leaned forward.
"What is that?"
Brenda's eyes crossed as she focused on the thing on her face, and hysteria jolted her out of her chair.
"Spider!"
she shrieked, jumping around, slapping at her face.
"Spider! Spider!"
Nancy and I were mouths open, eyes wide, watching the television. Even Ranger turned his attention from his phone call to the show. A stagehand rushed onto the set, tackled Brenda, and dragged her back to her chair.
"What was that?"
Brenda asked.
"Is it gone? Is it dead?"
One of the anchors picked the thing off the floor and looked at it.
"It's a strip of eyelashes."
Brenda blinked and put a finger to her eye.
"Oh, shit."
Nancy's face went white.
"She just said shit on television. And if that isn't awful enough, she looks ridiculous. She's only got lashes on one eye."
"It's not my bad," I said. "I swear, she rubbed her eyes. Everyone knows you don't rub your eyes when you've got lashes glued on."
"I wouldn't worry about it," Ranger said. "No one looks at her eyes."
5 minutes later, Brenda stormed into the room.
"That was so hideous," she said, teeth clenched. "My eyelash fell off. Did you see it? I thought it was a spider."
She looked around the room, finally finding me.
"You,"
she said, pointing her finger.
"This is all your fault. You're the one who glued the eyelash. You said you knew what you were doing, but obviously that was a lie."
"You rubbed your eye. The eyelash would have been fine if you hadn't rubbed your eye."
"I'm leaving now," Brenda said, head high. "And I don't want this horrible liar in my car. Does everybody understand that?"
"She's part of your security detail, and she's going in your car," Ranger said.
"Then I'm not going."
"No problem," I said. "I'll ride in one of the other cars, and we'll sort this out later." Hallelujah. With any luck, I get fired. Ranger's men stayed with the car at the hotel's side entrance. Ranger, Nancy, and Brenda had taken the elevator to Brenda's floor, and I was waiting in the lobby. Ranger's orders. Hard to tell what would happen next, but I suspected I wouldn't be seeing the concert. I saw the stalker coming at me from across the room. He was smiling and waving like we were old friends.
"Ha," he said. "Remember me?"
"Of course I remember you. You're the stalker."
"I just wanted to tell you everything seems to be okay, cosmically speaking."
"Good to know."
"I saw Brenda on television this morning. She did fabulous, and the eyelash bit was funny. Tell her I liked the eyelash bit."
Okie dokie, I'll pass it on.
The elevator binged, Ranger stepped out, and the stalker scurried away. Ranger crossed over to me, his eyes on the stalker, who was now hiding behind a big potted plant.
Is he bothering you? Ranger asked.
No, he's harmless.
Let me know if that changes. Tank is on hall duty. Nancy is in the suite with Brenda. You're off the hook for a couple hours, but you need to be back here to get Brenda to her sound check at 4. They'll run through the show, and then Brenda will stay there for makeup and wardrobe. Don't let her out of your sight. I won't be able to go to the sound check, so you're in charge until I get there.
What? You aren't serious. I was counting on being fired.
Why would I fire you?
The eyelash.
Babe, you gotta do a lot better than that to get fired.
I can't get Brenda to the sound check. She hates me. She won't listen to me.
You'll figure it out, Ranger said. I have to go. I'll see you tonight.
I blew out a sigh and hiked to my car. Easy to find it these days with Zook written in Dayglow paint all over it. I drove to the office and parked at the curb. Lulu was on the phone when I walked into the office.
What do you think about having fireworks go off after the ceremony? She asked me. It's part of the package if you have the reception at the VFW hall. They ring the church bells and then they shoot off fireworks.
I guess that could be fun, I said.
Yeah, we'll consider the fireworks, Lula said into the phone. And maybe while the fireworks are going off, you could serve some of them pigs in a blanket. I love them little things.
She listened for another minute and disconnected.
That went real good, she said. They had a cancellation on a baby shower and I was able to sneak in.
Isn't all this going to come to a lot of money? I asked her. The gown, the cake, the flowers, the hall, the pigs in a blanket, the fireworks.
A wedding is priceless. A girl only gets married once.
Not the girls in this room, Connie said. Have you thought about a prenup?
Lula's eyes widened.
A prenup? You think I need one?
He could end up getting you Firebird.
No way, not my Firebird.
And what about your house?
I just rent an apartment. I own the couch, though. He better not try to take my couch or my TV.
You need a lawyer, Connie said.
Lula took a pad out of her purse.
I'll put it on my list. Now that I'm getting married, I'm more detail-oriented. I'm keeping track of things in my pad.
How's the Brenda job going? Connie asked. What's she like?
She's just like she is on television, but she's prettier on television. I need someone to help me get her to a sound check at 4. Any takers?
Is there money in it? Lula asked.
Yeah, you'll be on Ranger's payroll.
I never been on Ranger's payroll before, Lula said. I'd do it.
If you represent Ranger, you have to be dressed in black. I'll meet you in the hotel lobby at 3:30.
That don't hardly give me any time, Lula said. I gotta get home to my apartment and change my makeup if I'm wearing black, and then I got wardrobe decisions to make.
You have hours.
Yeah, but this year's important. I'm gonna be mingling with all them entertainment people. This could be my big break. I could get discovered.
Lula left, but I stayed at the office and did some phone work on a couple skips. At 3:15, I swiped on some mascara and lip gloss and headed out. At 3:30, I was in the lobby waiting for Lula. I didn't see Brenda's stalker, but I knew he was somewhere nearby. Lula barreled into the lobby through the front door and motored across the floor. She was in black heels and black stockings and a short, totally sequined, tight black skirt. Her boobs were overflowing out of a black satin bustier, and she had it all topped off with a black satin tuxedo jacket. Her hair was Budweiser red. I suspected she was also wearing a Glock at the small of her back under the jacket.
Hey, girlfriend, she said. Let's rock and roll.
Brenda might not be too happy to see me, I said to Lula in the elevator. She had a makeup malfunction on television, and at first glance, it might have seemed to be my fault.
Are you talking about the eyelash fiasco? Connie and me almost wet our pants.
The elevator doors opened at Brenda's floor, and I looked out at Tank standing halfway down the hall in front of the suite.
It's my sweetie, Lula shrieked, taking off at a run on the stiletto heels.
Tank froze, deer in the headlights. Except with Tank, it was more like rhino in the headlights. Lula grabbed Tank and gave him a kiss, and Tank broke out in a sweat. Ranger bailed on the sound check, I told Tank, so I brought Lula to help out. Tank almost smiled. He knew Ranger would have a seizure at the thought of Lula working for him.
I'm all dressed in Rangeman colors, Lula said to Tank.
Yeah, Tank said. You look fine.
and I've been working on our wedding all day, Lula told him. I got all the details worked out so you don't have to worry about anything. I know you want the whole big deal with the fireworks and me in a veil and a gown with a big long train and all, so I've got it all going on. And all you gotta do is go for a fitting for your tuxedo.
The sweat was dripping off Tank's chin onto his t-shirt.
Tuxedo, he said. Fireworks.
And lots of pigs in a blanket. You like pigs in a blanket, right?
Yeah,
Tank said. Then it's all settled, Lula told him.
I got it covered here, I said to Tank. Maybe you want to take a break. Tank nodded, but didn't move. You aren't going to faint again, are you? I asked him.
Tank don't faint, Lula said. Look at how big he is. He got a circulation system like a steam engine.
I knocked on Brenda's door, and Nancy answered. Uh-oh, she said when she saw me. Ranger is busy, I told her. Lula and I are here to take Brenda to the sound check. Nancy looked at Lula and gasped.
Who's there?
Brenda called from the bedroom.
Is it Mr. Hardass?
I pushed my way into the suite. Mr. Hardass is busy. It's the eyelash expert and her sidekick, Lula. The cars are downstairs waiting. Brenda Power walked out of the bedroom.
I am not going with you. You destroyed my good reputation. I have an image to uphold. I was a beauty queen. I was America's sweetheart. I've gone platinum.
And I was a hoe, Lula said. What's that got to do with the price of beans?
Brenda's eyebrows raised up an inch.
Were you really a hoe? I've never met a real hoe before.
Probably you did, Lula said. There's lots of hoes out there, but we look just like regular people.
Brenda and I stared at Lula for a couple beats. Lula didn't nearly look like a regular person.
So let's get a move on, Lula said. I don't want to miss nothing on this sound check.
We moved out of the room into the hall and hustled into the elevator. We dropped to the lobby, started across the floor, and Brenda spotted the stalker.
There's Gary, she said. He's not supposed to be here. I had a restraining order put on him. He should be home with his mother. Ever since he got hit by that lightning, he hadn't been right.
You know him?
He's my cousin. Before the lightning hit him, he had brown hair. Can you imagine that?
He said I had a red aura, Lula said.
You going home?
Brenda yelled across the room to Gary.
I'll get the police after you if I see you again.
Watch out for the pizza, Gary yelled back.
We climbed into one of the black SUVs, and my cell phone rang.
Where are you?
Zook asked. I'm in a car, I said. Where are you?
I'm at school waiting for someone to pick me up.
Your mother got bonded out this morning. She was supposed to pick you up.
She isn't here.
Okay, stay right there, and I'll get back to you. I dialed Dom.
What?
Dom said. I'm looking for Loretta.
She went to get the kid.
He just called me. He's on the street waiting.
She left an hour ago,
he said.
Maybe she went to the store or something.
I couldn't see Loretta doing that. She would have been anxious to see her son. She would have gone to the store after she picked him up.
Oh, shit,
Dom said, panic-voiced.
I gotta go.
And he hung up. I redialed. No answer. I called Morelli. Something's not right, I said to him. I can't locate Loretta.
Do you think she skipped again?
I don't know what I think, but I have a bad feeling in my stomach. I got a call from Zook. She never picked him up. I called Dom, and he said she left an hour ago. Someone has to get Zook.
Dom?
He hung up on me, and I can't get him back.
Then I guess you have to get Zook.
I can't get Zook. I'm working. You have to get him.
I can't get him. I'm in the middle of something.
What?
Baseball. You know I play ball with the guys every Thursday.
I rolled my eyes so severely I almost fell off my seat. Please help me out here, I said. He's your cousin.
Okay,
Morelli said.
But only because you said please.
The SUVs wound their way into the arena back lot and we offloaded at the door. The lot held the semis that haul the staging and sound equipment, two band buses, a bunch of cop cars, and a sat TV truck.
This is just about the most exciting thing I've ever done, Lula said. This is better than when Grandma Mazza burned the funeral home down. There were TV trucks from all over the place covering that.
A woman who looked like a Nancy clone led us through the maze of cinder block corridors to the area set aside for costume changes and makeup. 20 to 30 people milled around a couple tables of catered food. Electrical cables snaked along the floor, and the whole deal felt like the circus was in town. Brenda's arrival prompted a flurry of activity. The stage manager, the band leader, the makeup wrangler, the hairdresser, and the wardrobe specialist clustered around her. I followed Ranger's instructions and kept Brenda in sight, but I did it from a distance. Brenda was suddenly the consummate professional. She answered questions. She made decisions. She followed instructions. People drifted away from the food to do their jobs, and Lula, Nancy, and I waited backstage while everyone walked through the show.
"This here's what I should be doing," Lula said. "I always wanted to be a supermodel, but now I see I should be a singer. I've been doing gigs with Sally Sweet, but it don't showcase my talent. I need to be out there on that stage with a whole bunch of half-naked men dancing behind me."
I gnawed on my lip a little.
"What?" Lula said.
"Nothing."
"Yes, sir, there's something."
"You can't sing."
"Yeah, but I look real good, and if the band plays loud enough, it don't matter. I think I could be a real star."
My phone rang, and I stepped into the corridor to talk.
"I got Sook, and I left him with your mother," Morelli said. "Then I rode around the neighborhood looking for Loretta's car. I found it 3 blocks from her mother's house. No Loretta, but her purse was on the passenger seat, and there was blood on the steering wheel and door."
I put my hand to the wall to steady myself. "How much blood?"
"Not a lot. I'm guessing she was wrestled out of the car."
"And what about Dom?"
"Vanished."
"Now what?"
"I have a crime scene guy here examining the car, and I put out an informal request to look for Loretta and Dom. The mother's house wasn't locked, so I'm going back there to snoop around. How's it going with you?"
"Could be worse." The sound check lasted an hour. When it was over, the Nancy clone fetched us back to the dressing rooms, and Lula, Nancy, and I mooched food while Brenda settled into a director's chair and the makeup wrangler started working on her. An hour later, the makeup thing was still going on, and the hair guy had Brenda's hair rolled up in curlers the size of soup cans.
"You're eating a lot of donuts," Lula said to me. "Something bothering you?"
"I'm worried about Loretta. She's disappeared."
"That was fast."
I told Lula about the car.
"That's ugly," Lula said. "I don't like the way that sounds."
My mother's number popped up on my cell screen. It was my Grandma Masser.
"We're on to the griefer," Grandma yelled into the phone. "We got him on the run. We're moving the operation to Morelli's house so the griefer can't track us."
"Why would he track you?"
"Griefers are like that," Grandma said. "And anyway, we're driving your mother nuts."
Chapter 9. I had arranged for 3 comp tickets to be left at Will Call for Morelli, Zook, and Grandma. I thought it would help to take Zook's mind off his mom. Morelli phoned at 7 to tell me they were in the building, and so far, no word on Loretta.
"After the show, I'm bringing Zook back to my house," Morelli said. "He's persona non grata with your mother. He spray-painted his name on your mother's sidewalk and front door, and then your grandmother spray-painted Scorch on everything, including your parents' 92-year-old neighbor, Mrs. Chiak. They said it was to throw the griefer off."
"You need to talk to Zook. He needs a father figure."
"I know nothing about being a father."
"You're good with Bob. Just pretend he's Bob. Remember when Bob ate all your furniture? How did you get Bob to stop?"
"I didn't. He still eats the furniture. He has me trained to live with it."
"You're just a big softy," I said to Morelli.
"Don't tell anyone, okay? I don't want that to get around. I have to go. I can't let Zook wander away from me. I'm afraid he'll redecorate the men's room."
Ranger strolled in at 7:10. "Where were you?" I asked him.
"Meetings with house security and checking the building."
He glanced across the hall to Lula, who was taking pointers from the makeup lady.
"I understand I have a new employee."
"I needed someone to help persuade Brenda to come with me."
"Looks like it worked."
"How's Tank doing?"
"He's confused. If this goes on much longer, I might have to kill Lula."
"You're kidding, right?" Ranger didn't answer. "Right?" I asked him again. He hooked an arm around my neck, pulled me to him, and kissed me on the top of my head.
"I'm kidding, but it is tempting."
"So what's going on out there? Bomb threats? Animal rights activists? Stalkers? Women against boobs?"
"No bomb threats. All the other crazies are in full force. Never have a rock concert on a full moon."
"How are ticket sales?"
"She sold out. Not a lot to do in Trenton this week, and Brenda still has a lot of fans, mostly your parents' generation."
Truth is, I liked Brenda's music. She had a brassy way of combining country and rock, and she could really belt it out when she wanted. At least that was true of her last album, but that was a bunch of years ago. I suspected that in spite of all her efforts, she wasn't capturing the kids. And the kids were the ones who spent money on music. The kids bought sex. And Brenda was good, but she wasn't sexy to a 16-year-old. Even the Stones were struggling with that. And they were the Stones. Brenda spotted Ranger and blew him a kiss. "Sorry," I said to Ranger. "You can't kill her either."
"I'm getting nervous," Brenda said. "I'm gonna throw up. I need a drink. I need a pill. Somebody get me something."
"You'll be fine," Nancy told her.
"I need a pill."
"Last time you took a pill before a performance, you fell off the stage."
"Yes, but it was a lot of pills on that occasion."
Lula stood, hands on hips.
"You don't need no pills," she said. "You're a professional. Get a grip on yourself."
"You don't know what it's like," Brenda said. "I had a chili dog for dinner. Suppose I fart."
"You're in Trenton. No one would notice a fart," Lula said.
After the concert, we immediately hustled Brenda off the stage, through the maze of corridors, out the door to the secure lot.
"I was hot," Brenda said. "I remembered all the words to the songs, and I didn't knock any of the dancers down."
"You were great," Nancy said. "The concert was fabulous." We wedged Brenda into the SUV's back seat between Ranger and me. Nancy and Lula were behind us. We rolled out of the lot with a police escort. We didn't need the police, but the concert promoter wanted the flashing lights.
"So, what about it?" Brenda asked Ranger.
"No," Ranger said.
"I swear you aren't any fun at all. What's the deal with you? I know you aren't gay. You aren't nice enough to be gay."
The caravan pulled up to the front entrance of the hotel, and photographers rushed out to take pictures. Local television was inside, plus a handful of journalists. And scattered in the mix were random fans and special interest protesters hoping to get a spot on the evening news. Ranger got out first, then Brenda, and then the rest of us. Brenda posed for photos and made her way through the big glass doors into the lobby. The local anchor was waiting for an interview. Brenda stepped up to the anchor, and the circle of fans and photographers closed in.
"We need space," the anchor said.
"I'm on it," Lula told her. "You people better back up or I'm gonna sit on you. Oops, did I step on your foot with my high heels? Excuse me, sorry I got you with my elbow. Coming back, beep, beep, beep. I got a gun, you better listen to me."
"Do you really have a gun?" the anchor asked.
"Sure I got a gun. What kind of half-ass security would I be without a gun? Of course, I'm just moonlighting here for a friend. Stephanie and me are mostly bounty hunters, and I sing with a band. You might want to have me on your show sometime. I got moves."
Lula snapped her fingers and stuck out a hip. "Woo!" she said. Ranger had me by the back of my jacket.
"Get her out of here before she tells him she works for me. I'll get Hal to help me with Brenda."
I parked in front of Morelli's house, and Morelli pulled in behind me.
"That was great," Zook said. "Everyone at school's gonna be way jealous, and Joe used the Kojak light to get us through traffic."
Morelli opened the front door, and Bob bounced out at us. He ran to a patch of wilted grass, tinkled, and ran back inside the house. I followed Bob through the house to the kitchen. I gave Bob a dog biscuit, and I looked in the freezer for ice cream. Hooray! A new tub of chocolate. Morelli and I sat at the little kitchen table and ate our ice cream. Zook took his into the living room and went online. "Do you think he should be online at this hour?" I asked Morelli. "It's a school night."
"When I was his age, I was stealing cars at this time of the night, and you were sneaking out your parents' bathroom window."
"Yeah, but we're on the other side now. We're supposed to be smarter than Zook."
"I just spent half a day with him, and I'm not sure I'm smarter. And I'm not sure I feel comfortable being on the other side. It's like I fast-forwarded my life by 15 years.
"He's not here," Zook said from the living room.
"Who?" I asked.
"The griefer, Moondog. He's always here, but now he's not.
Maybe you and Grandma scared him off."
The doorbell rang, and Morelli and I did raised eyebrows. It was late for someone to be visiting. Morelli went to the door, and I trailed behind. With the way things were going, it could be Dom or Loretta or a cop with bad news. Morelli opened the door,
and we both gaped at the guy on the porch. He was my age and just under 6 feet tall, with shoulder-length light brown hair parted in the middle. He was slim and pale, dressed in baggy jeans and a fruits basket t-shirt.
"I'm looking for Zook," he said.
I switched the porch light on and stared out at him. "Mooner?" He squinted back at me.
"Stephanie Plum?"
He turned his attention to Morelli.
"And the dude, whoa, this is too heavy. What's going on? You aren't Zook, are you?"
I'd gone to high school with Walter Moonman Dumphy. Moonman was the class stoner and voted most likely to get adopted by a little old lady. He drifted in and out of people's lives, happy to get the occasional bowl of ice cream or cat kibble. He used to live with two other losers on Grant Street, but last I heard, he'd moved back home with his mother.
"I'm Zook,"
Mario said from the couch. Mooner looked in at him.
"The little dude is Zook. I can dig it. It's always a little dude."
"Who are you?"
Zook asked.
"I'm Moondog."
"No way."
"Way, man," Mooner said. "I hacked this address. I wanted to see what you look like. Man, you're harsh. I was having a good run and you rained on my parade. You and Scorch, I'm like all bum now."
"It's not like we finished you off," Zook said.
"Dude, it was only a matter of time, and Scorch is an animal. Scorch comes on, and I can smell sulfur."
"So you're the griefer," Morelli said. "How'd that happen?"
Mooner shrugged.
"Destiny, dude."
"What are you gonna do now?" Zook asked Mooner. "You still have a powerful PC.
"Yeah, but not as powerful as yours. You could go all the way. You could be the Mega Mage of Wizards. You could rule Minion Fire."
"Do you really think so?"
"Yeah, but you'd have to make a deal with the Wood Elves."
"I don't like the Wood Elves."
"They're okay. They're misunderstood."
"Maybe we could form an alliance and then you could deal with the Wood Elves," Zook said.
"An alliance would be cool," Mooner said. "We'd need an awesome name, like the Legion of Q."
"What's Q?" Zook asked.
"It's everything. It's the big Q. It's like Wind Man."
Mooner dragged his backpack in from the front porch and took his laptop out.
"I'll send a pigeon to the King of the Wood Elves."
"You're gonna need a drug test before you run an alliance from my house," Morelli said to Mooner.
"Hey, I'm clean, swear to God. You gotta be sharp to be a griefer of my magnitude."
We let Mooner send a pigeon, and then we kicked him out, and we all went to bed. I was so relieved to be off the Brenda job that I fell asleep instantly and slept like the dead. I didn't wake up until Morelli kissed me goodbye the next morning.
"I set the alarm," he said. "You can't oversleep today. You have to get Zook off to school."
I listened to his tread on the stairs and heard the front door open and close, and then two shots from a high-powered rifle shattered the early morning quiet. I flew out of bed and ran to the window. Morelli's SUV was still at the curb, but I didn't see Morelli. I grabbed some clothes off the floor, rammed myself into them, and ran to the stairs. I was halfway down the stairs when I realized Morelli was back in the house in the foyer talking on his cell phone.
"What the heck was that?" I asked him. "Are you okay?"
Morelli slid his phone into his pocket.
"Yeah, I'm okay. That was crazy Dom. I saw him. He stepped right out where I could see him and opened fire on me. I don't know if he's a lousy shot or if he just meant to scare me. Anyway, he fired two rounds and took off. I called it in to dispatch. If he stays in the same car, there's a good chance someone will pick him up."
I looked up the stairs. No sign of Zook.
"I guess a Legion of Q isn't bothered by gunfire," Morelli said. "He probably sleeps wearing earbuds hooked to his computer so he can listen for the Wood Elves."
I dropped Zook off at school and went home to my apartment. I gave Rex fresh water, a bowl of hamster crunchies, and a potato chip. He rushed out of his soup can, twitched his whiskers at me, stuffed the potato chip into his cheek pouch, and scurried back into his soup can. It's easy to have a decent relationship with a hamster, so little is required. I took a shower and changed into clean clothes, no more Range Man Black. That job was done. I was about to get a pot of coffee going when Connie called.
You need to come to the office, she said. We have a situation.
What does that mean? What's a situation?
You have to see for yourself.
I locked up my apartment and went down to the lot to the Zook car. I checked the sky. No clouds. That meant no rain. The paint wouldn't get washed away again today. When I picked Zook up from school, I was going to make him wash my car. And then I'd have him scrub my mom's door and sidewalk. 10 minutes later, I cruised by the office. Lula's Firebird was parked curbside behind a black stretch limo and a TV news van. Just keep driving, I told myself. This smells like Brenda. I was 2 blocks away when my phone rang.
We saw you drive by, Connie said.
Maybe it wasn't me.
How many cars have Zook written all over them?
I couldn't find a parking place.
There's lots of parking. Lula's outside waiting for you to turn around. If you don't turn around, she's going to get in her car and come after you.
I'm pretty sure I could lose her.
I wouldn't count on it. She's really motivated.
I hung up, hooked a U-turn, and parked in front of the limo. Lula came running.
Hurry up, she yelled at me. Everybody's inside waiting for you.
She was dressed entirely in black leather. High-heeled stiletto boots, short black leather skirt, black leather bustier, and a black leather bomber jacket that had crime busters stitched in gold on the back. If you were a guy and you ordered a dominatrix by the pound, Lula would be a wet dream come true. I got out of the Zookmobile and followed Lula into the office. Brenda was there with her hair teased up. She was dressed in tight black leather pants and a black leather vest. Nothing under the vest, but Brenda. Nancy was with her, plus a man and a woman I didn't know. A camera crew sat slouched on the couch, their equipment at their feet.
What's up? I asked, not actually wanting to hear the answer.
This is Mark Bird and his producer, Jenny Whalen, Nancy said. Some suited fox was watching the local feed last night and got the brilliant idea of teaming Brenda up with you and Lula on a bust for a Sunday night special. Mark is going to run point with it.
I put my finger to my eye to stop the twitching. Don't we already have enough bounty hunter shows on television?
Not with Brenda, Mark said. I think we could really get ratings with this. It will be a cross between Dog the Bounty Hunter and Paris Hilton's The Simple Life.
Eek.
Trouble is, you're not dressed the part, Lula said to me. You gotta be in black leather.
I'm not wearing black leather, I told her, and you shouldn't either. You look like an S&M ad.
This is bounty hunter clothes, Lula said. All the bounty hunters on television wear clothes like this.
I pressed my finger harder against my eyeball. First off, no real bond enforcer dresses like that. It's like announcing, here comes the bounty hunter. And second, my mother would have a heart attack if she saw me in that getup.
Yeah, but you're always giving your mother a heart attack, Lula said. And anyways, you haven't seen the best part. They had jackets made for us, and they got the show's name on the back and our names on the front. It's like we're Charlie's Angels.
For Christ's sake, Brenda said to me, you're a bounty hunter. Buy into the stereotype and get it over with. And here's something to consider. I'm getting a crack at reality TV, and I'll kick your ass from here to Kingdom Come if you screw it up for me.
I think you should ask Ranger to do this, I said to Nancy. He'd be a better partner for Brenda.
We already asked him, and he turned it down, Brenda said.
This isn't a good idea, I said to Connie.
They called Vinny last night, and he thinks it's a great idea. It's out of my hands.
Can I discuss this with you in private? Lula said to me. Would you step into my office behind the building for a moment?
I followed Lula past the bank of file cabinets and through the storeroom to the back door. We stepped outside and stood on the small patch of blacktop that was allocated as emergency parking, an emergency usually being when someone is trying to collect money from Vinny and he doesn't want his car to be seen in front of the agency.
This here's my big opportunity, Lula said. I could get discovered. I could have my own reality TV show with Brenda. Even my horoscope said I was going to look to new horizons today.
This is a disastrous idea. Think about it. We're like Lucy and Ethel out there. We never know what the heck we're doing. And now we're going to drag Brenda around with us? And it's going to be documented. Remember when that mop fell out of the closet and you thought it was a snake? Do you want that picture to go into a million homes?
Maybe not that picture.
And what about the time you fell in the grave and couldn't get out and freaked?
Yeah, but anyone would have. I figured we'd just have to pick a good bust. Like the old naked guy would have been okay.
You can't put an old naked guy on national television. Anyway, we already brought him in.
Connie said she had something we could use. And besides being my big break, they're gonna pay us.
That caught my attention because I needed a new car. Bad. How much?
A couple thousand. And they thought we'd only have to do 2 days of filming.
Okay, I'll do it. But I'm not dressing in black leather.
You're gonna be sorry. You're gonna look like an amateur. You're not gonna fit in with Brenda and me. You should at least wear the jacket.
Fine, I'll wear the jacket. Lula hustled back inside.
We're ready to roll. We just cleared our schedule for you, and Stephanie's all excited about wearing the jacket.
What have you got? I asked Connie. Susan Stitch just came in. She had a fight with her boyfriend and tried to leave, but he climbed onto the roof of her SUV and wouldn't get off, so she drove him to Princeton. Actually, she didn't quite make Princeton. The police finally stopped her on Route 1 about a half mile from the interchange.
Geez, I said. Was he hurt?
Not from the ride, but he sort of flew off the car when Susan stopped short, and then she kind of ran over him. Kind of. He tried to scramble to his feet, but she gunned the car and clipped him in the leg.
She sounds dangerous, Lula said. We want to make sure we're packing.
No, no packing, I said. No packing anything. This is a domestic disturbance.
Sure, I know that, Lula said.
Why did she miss her court date? I asked Connie. Did you call her? She said she forgot and she said she was sorry, so it should be an easy pickup. She lives on Bing Street in North Trenton. It's a small apartment building. She's in apartment 212. You see, I said to Lula, she's sorry. We don't want to overreact with this woman.
This sounds like it's going to be boring, Brenda said. I think we should hunt down a rapist or something.
Gee, sorry, I said. There aren't any of those around right now, right, Connie?
Yeah, we already caught all the rapists.
We gotta have a plan for the takedown, Lula said. Do you have your cuffs ready? She asked Brenda.
Cuffs?
You gotta have handcuffs, Lula said. How are you gonna do a takedown without handcuffs?
Brenda glared at Nancy.
Damn it, why don't I have handcuffs?
Nancy was head down, thumbing through the pages on her clipboard. Wardrobe didn't list handcuffs.
Isn't it bad enough I haven't got a gun? Brenda said. Just because little Miss Goody Two-Shoes Stephanie Plum doesn't have the stomach for it, doesn't want to stress out the disturbed woman who ran over her boyfriend.
You ran over a cameraman, Nancy said to Brenda.
He deserved it, Brenda said. The son of a bitch.
I always got a gun, Lula said. I got a big one.
This just ain't gonna work, Brenda said. How are we supposed to look like bounty hunters if we don't go in with guns drawn? This is very disappointing. My fans will be expecting action. They're going to want to hear me say, freeze, we're bounty hunters.
She got a point, Lula said.
Yeah, but here's the problem, I said. Television bounty hunters do that sort of thing, but I'm not a television bounty hunter. I'm a real-life bond enforcement agent. So here's how it's going to happen. I'm going to knock on Susan's door and hand her my card and explain who we are. Then I'm going to ask her to come downtown with us so she can get rebonded.
Huh, Lula said. I guess you could do it that way, but it's not going to get ratings.
Humor me, I said. Brenda can go to a studio and do voiceovers and no one will know the difference.
That might work, Lula said to Brenda.
Freeze, sucker,
Brenda said in a crouch position, pretending she had a gun.
That's pretty good, Lula told her. You should have your own show. You could do CSI. Brenda.
I took the paperwork from Connie and shrugged into my jacket. It was almost 80 degrees outside, and I was going to sweat like a pig in this thing.
Here's the way it works, the sound guy said. I'm going to wire you all, and I've also wired the Firebird. We'll be able to hear everything, so switch yourself off if you need to use the bathroom. We've also got a lipstick cam in the Firebird, and we'll be filming from the van. When you enter the lady's house, Jeff will follow you with the minicam.
What if she doesn't want to be filmed? I asked.
Everyone wants to be filmed, the sound guy said. Just start singing the Bad Boys theme song.
We trudged outside. Lula got behind the wheel. Brenda got in next to her, and I climbed into the back. Brenda and Lula were in full view of the lipstick cam mounted above the driver's side door. The camera didn't cover the back seat. Fine by me. My hair didn't look all that great, and my cleavage couldn't nearly measure up. Lula drove across town to North Trenton and turned down Bing Street. The film crew van was right behind us. We parked in the apartment building lot, and we all got out. I thought we looked like one of those Publishers Clearing House commercials. The only thing missing was the big check and a bunch of balloons. I led the parade into the building and up one flight of stairs. The building wasn't fancy, but it was clean and the paint looked new. There were 6 apartments on the 2nd floor. "Now remember," I said to Brenda and Lula, "let me do the talking."
"I should be the one to do the talking," Brenda said. "I'm the star."
"And I'm almost the star," Lula said. "What about me? I need to get a chance to talk."
"Yes," I said, "but I'm the one who signed her name to the contract to apprehend. I'm the one who gets sued if there's a screw-up."
"Okay," Lula said. "That sounds fair."
"I can live with it," Brenda said.
According to my paperwork, Susan Stitch was 26 years old, unmarried, and worked nights as a bartender at the Holiday Inn. She had no priors, and she lived alone. I rang the bell, and a young woman answered the door. Shoulder-length brown hair, brown eyes, slim. Susan Stitch. She looked just like her booking photo. I introduced myself and gave her my card. "I'm here to bring you to the courthouse so you can get rebonded," I told her. And that was partially true. The part I neglected to mention was that she would have to go through the arrest process again, and that it wasn't a given she would be released. She looked over my shoulder at the cameraman and sound guy and Brenda and Lula. "Who are all these people?"
"This is your lucky day," Lula said. "You've been selected to be arrested by Brenda, and these are the guys who follow her around to take pictures."
"Freeze, bitch," Brenda said.
Susan squinted at Brenda.
"Oh my God, is it really you?"
"Yep," Brenda said, "in the flesh."
"Oh my God, oh my God," Susan said. "I've got goosebumps. The lady at the bonds office didn't tell me. I would have worn something different. Oh my God, you have to come in so I can get my camera. No one's going to believe this."
Susan ran off to get her camera, and we all shuffled into her small apartment. Her furniture looked a lot like mine, inexpensive and without personality. Neither of us was a nest builder. I always had good intentions of buying throw pillows and arranging pictures in frames and maybe getting a houseplant, but somehow it never happened.
"Hey," Lula yelled into the bedroom at Susan, "did you really give your boyfriend a ride on the roof rack?"
Susan came in with her camera.
"He's not my boyfriend. He used to be my boyfriend, but he's a total jerk. I'm just sorry all I got was his leg. If he hadn't gotten up so fast, I would have run over him like he was a speed bump."
She focused the camera and took everyone's picture.
"Now what of me with Brenda?" she said, handing the camera to Lula. "This is so cool!"
"Why'd your boyfriend jump on a car?" Lula wanted to know. "Guess he didn't want you to go?"
"Had nothing to do with me. It was that I took Carl. He just wanted his precious Carl."
"Isn't that tragic?" Brenda said. "You have a little boy. A split is always so hard on the children."
"Actually, Carl's a monkey,"
Susan said. Lula snapped her head around.
"He isn't here, is he? Nothing personal, but I hate monkeys."
"I have him in the bathroom. He gets excited when strangers come into the apartment."
"I have to see this," Brenda said, crossing to the closed bathroom door. "What kind of monkey is it?"
"Don't open the door," Susan said.
Too late. Brenda yanked the door open, and the monkey launched himself out at her and draped himself over her head. Everyone in the room went rigid and sucked air. Brenda rolled her eyes, trying to see through her skull.
"What the heck?"
Carl said, and he reached down and pinched Brenda's nose hard. Brenda slapped his hand away, and Carl shrieked and hunkered down, digging into Brenda's scalp with his monkey fingers and toes. All you could see was monkey tail and brown monkey fur sticking out of Brenda's rat's nest hair.
"Uh-oh," Lula said. "I never seen a monkey hump before, but I could swear Carl's in love."
"Somebody do something for Christ's sake," Brenda yelled. "Get him off me! Kill him! Get him a damn banana!"
It was the spider all over again, times 50. The difference was that this time Brenda's freakout was justified. If I had a monkey humping my head, I'd be freaked too.
"Don't slap at him," Susan said. "He'll make him mad."
Lula had her gun out.
"Hold still and I'll nail the nasty little bugger."
The sound guy reached for Carl, and Carl latched onto his arm and bit his hand.
"Yow, shit," the sound guy said. "Shoot him! Shoot him!"
He whipped his arm out, and Carl flew off into space, hit the wall, and bounced off like a tennis ball. And he kept bouncing. Onto the table, to the chandelier, to the couch, to an end table, to the television. Carl rocketed around the room, shrieking and chattering and baring his teeth. His eyes were black and glittery and bugged out of his head, and he was spraying monkey spit.
It's a demon monkey, Lula yelled. Get a priest! I'm out of here, the cameraman said. Life's too short.
The sound guy was already in the hall, and Brenda was at the stairs.
Wait for me, Lula said, pounding after them.
If I didn't catch up, they'd leave without me. They'd drive away and never look back.
Turn yourself in, I said to Susan. Sorry about the monkey.
I sprinted across the lot and got to the Firebird just as Lula put the key into the ignition. I hurled myself into the back seat, and we took off with the camera crew truck right on our ass.
What the hell was that?
Brenda wanted to know. Lula gave the Firebird gas.
She said, don't open the door, but would you listen? Heck no, you had to go open the door. What were you thinking?
I wanted to see the monkey. Did she say the monkey was rabid? No. Did she say the monkey was on crack? No. I assumed it was a pet. Its name was Carl.
Right there, it tells you something, Lula said. Carls are always crazy. You never trust anyone named Carl or Steve.
That's ridiculous, Brenda said. Do you have any other theories on names?
Yeah. It's been my experience that guys named Ralph only got one good nut.
I was sitting behind Brenda, and her hair was Wild Woman of Borneo with a couple chunks obviously chewed off by the monkey.
Is my hair all right?
Brenda asked.
Do I need to comb it or something?
She patted the top of her head.
What's this sticky stuff?
At the very best, I thought it was monkey spit. Geez, I said. I don't know. I think it might be your gel or something. Probably you want to wait until you get to a ladies' room to comb it. Chapter 10 Mark Bird and his producer were waiting for us at the office. The producer gasped when Brenda walked through the door.
How'd it go? She asked, her attention caught on Brenda's hair.
This bounty hunter thing is harder than I thought, Brenda said. I need a ladies' room.
There's a powder room straight back, Connie said. It'll be on your right.
Brenda sashayed off to the powder room, and we all stayed mute until the door closed.
What the heck happened to her? Connie asked.
Monkey, Lula said. Bugger humped her head.
The sound guy was grinning wide.
We looked at the footage in the truck on the way here. It's great.
You couldn't possibly use it, I said to him.
It would be a crime not to, he said. It's gold.
Connie looked to me.
I assume there was no capture.
I took my cell phone out and punched Morelli's number in. Your assumption is correct. Morelli answered with a grunt. What's new? I asked him.
Nothing worth talking about. I caught a double homicide this morning and haven't been able to do anything about Dom or Loretta. Larry Skid is working Loretta. So far, no one spotted Dom.
Larry Skid is an idiot.
Yeah, my description for him would be sack of shit. I've gotta go. You're picking the kid up today, right?
Right. I disconnected and fished around in my bag, looking for my keys. I have to talk to some people, I said to Connie. I'll get back to Susan Stitch later. Her monkey needs alone time.
Where are you going? Lula wanted to know. I might have to go with you. I don't want to be here when Ms. Monkey Hair comes out of the bathroom.
10 minutes later, we were in front of Dom's mother's house. I knew Morelli had done a search, but I didn't think it would hurt for me to take a look, too. I knocked on the front door. No answer. I turned the knob and the door swung open. We stepped inside and listened.
All I hear is a refrigerator, Lula said.
The interior of the house was dark and fussy. Lots of candy dishes and figurines and vases filled with plastic flowers. The dining room table was covered with a lace tablecloth.
What are we looking for? Lula wanted to know.
Clues.
Good thing I asked. I thought it might have been elephants.
I prowled through the kitchen, and it looked to me like Dom had cleared out in a hurry. There were dirty dishes in the sink and a fry pan on the stove. The refrigerator held the usual staples. Yesterday's paper was open on the small kitchen table. A cup of cold coffee was beside the paper. A cardboard box containing cereal, jars of soup, and canned food was on the floor next to the sink. I was guessing this came from Loretta's stash. There were more cardboard boxes upstairs in a spare bedroom. They were labeled clothes and bathroom. The master bedroom was untouched, the bed neatly made. A second bedroom was a disaster. Linens rumpled into a mess in the middle of the bed, drawers open with clothes everywhere. Either Dom was a slob, or else the room had been tossed. I checked the garage. No cars. Loretta's possessions neatly stacked in a corner.
What'd we learn here? Lula wanted to know.
Not much. Loretta moved in and then disappeared. Dom made an unplanned departure. Hard to tell how many people have searched the house. I'm guessing at least three. Morelli and me, and someone else. The limo and the film crew van were gone when I returned to the office.
Guess it's safe to park, Lula said. Looks like everyone went away.
Not everyone. Gary the stalker was sitting on the curb in front of the bonds office. He stood when I got out of the Sentra and walked over to me. Brenda went back to the hotel, I told him.
I know. I saw her leave. I thought I'd have better luck talking to you.
I'm not working security for her anymore.
Yeah, but you talked to her.
Actually, no.
I had a dream that she was sitting on a toilet in the southbound lane of Route 1.
Uh-huh.
I thought someone needed to know.
Why?
Just in case, he said.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay, then, I said. Thanks. My phone rang, and a strange number popped onto the screen.
Is this Stephanie Plum? A man asked.
Yeah, I said, recognizing the voice. Is this the Mooner?
Affirmative. It's the Moonster, the Moondog, the Moonman. I'm here at the house looking for Zuccarama, but he isn't here.
He's in school.
School? Far out.
Anything else?
Here's the thing. It was real late when we were done playing last night, and I think I might have left my computer in the house because I don't seem to have it with me. So I was wondering if you could, like, let me into the house?
Sure, I said. I'm at the bonds office. I'll be right there. Morelli's house is minutes from the bonds office. It was close to noon, and there was no traffic. No kids playing, no dogs barking. Only Mooner sitting on the small porch, patiently waiting for me. I unlocked the door, and Bob galloped over to us. Bob stuck his snoot into Mooner's crotch and took a sniff.
Whoa, Mooner said. He remembered.